my kids. We had four at that time. But my youngest son was over staying at my sister's house, a cousin his age. So I went by there to see him. And he was crying. He wanted to go to the ballpark with me. And I said, no. I said, I can't take you to the ballpark. I'll take you to the ballpark tomorrow, but I can't take you to the ballpark today. I said, Daddy, I'll try and hit a home run for you. Well, you know, you look at my record. I hit, you know, 3, 4, or 5 home runs a year. I had no business making a statement like that. Well, the first time up, Bunning's pitching. He's a low ball pitcher. And I was a pretty good low ball hitter. I just hit it. The minute it left my bat, I knew it was gone. And as I took my first steps out of the batter's box, I said, there you go, Randy. And of course, I had who knows how many relatives in the stands.
What did your son say when he saw you next?
Well, my mom said she hit it for her.
Oh, everybody was claiming it.
Yeah, but
that's great.
That was a thrill. That was one of the big thrills of my career, hitting that home run in that ballpark with all those family members there and off of another Hall of Fame pitcher.
So you never got to play in Shea?
No, I played in an old-timers game, that rocking chair right there. If you remove the pad on the back, it has a Mets insignia on it. I believe it has my name on it.
Where?
Pull that off. Just pull that off.
Oh.
Does it have my name?
Yep. Hobie Landreth. 624-72, Shea Stadium, old-timers game.
You see the knobs are all painted like
baseballs.
And
that's great. Did everybody get one of these?
Yeah. They shipped that. Can you imagine that?
They shipped it.
The Mets, I mean, they were first class. Tell you another example. You see that clock up there?
Yeah.
I never realized how much that clock cost. We were in Europe walking down the street and looked in the window and I saw that clock. It was $1,200.
Wow.
That's an atmospheric culture clock.
Yeah.
Never have to wind it. And that's, isn't that an old-timers game also?
Yeah, 1967. Well, it was great when I was at Jim Davenport's. I saw his gold glove. And
yeah.
I didn't realize it. Now they give you gold. It's like a statue. It's all gold. But back then, they actually took a glove and painted it gold. That's kind of neat.
Boy, he was a good third baseman.
So what about, tell me about some of these guys. They say that Marv Thornberry doesn't deserve all the...
I never played with him.
Oh,
I was traded for him.
That's right. And then what about Richie Ashburn? He was at the end of his career.
Yeah, Richie was a gosh darn it guy. And he never heard him
cuss
at all. Yeah, there's a lot of players that never cussed. This locker room talk that you hear so much about, that they make a movie, say they got to put it in there. That's not true. I mean... Absolutely, certain guys had loose tongues, but a lot of other guys didn't. And but Ashburn was a quality guy.
Now you had, I mean, why were there so many catchers on this team? There were
Harry Cheedy,
Cannizzaro, Taylor, Coleman, Pignatano, you, Cheedy, and Ginsberg.
I don't know. Maybe it was that Chesterfield sign. I don't know.
And then the pitching staff, I guess Roger Craig, was that the year that he lost all those games?
Yeah.
No, it was.
They had Jay Hook.
Right.
And they had, left
10-24.
Yeah. McKenzie was there, and Craig, wasn't there, the guy by the name of Craig?
Craig Anderson?
Craig Anderson, right. And
what do you remember about handling some of these guys?
Well, most of my... didn't know at all. Craig I knew, but most of them I didn't know because they were on minor league rosters of other teams. You know, they weren't big league.
Boy, they were one loss away from having 3 20 game losers on that team. Jay Hook only needed was one more loss. And it goes down as history as one of the worst baseball teams ever.
Yep.
Do you remember any particularly bad days? Oh, Don Zimmer here too.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we had Zimmer at third. We had Felix Montoya at short, Charlie Neal at second, Hodges and Ed Boucher at first.
Oh, I was going to ask you about Hodges. Do you think he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame?
Yes. I mean, I say it so quickly because he's a Hall of Fame guy, you know, or was.
And died young.
Yeah, I coached for him at Washington.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice, nice person. Wonderful family man.
Who was the best manager you had?
Best manager I played for? I'll name... Tevitz ranks right up there. Dark ranks right up there. Bill Rigney, he ranks right up there also. I think as far as a strategician is concerned, the best I ever played for was Alvin Dark. The best for teaching me how to be a better catcher was Birdie. Bill Rigney was also a person that used great psychology with his players. He had a better rapport with the guys that were in the lineup were happy because they were in the lineup. The guys that weren't in the lineup were the ones that Rigney concentrated on to keep them happy, let them know what their role was. You know, I'm going to need you. You're going to play an important part on this team. He's the only manager that really stressed that to the extra players.
Now, do you think money's changed things in regard to the fact that do you think Rogers Hornsby could get away with talking to the today's players like he did back when he talked to you?
Not at all.
It's just because of money?
Oh, I don't know that it's money. I think that society has changed. I think that the biases that many people had back in when Hornsby played baseball and even after he got out of baseball or was no longer a player but still associated. You know, there was a lot of biases, not just in sports, but in society as a whole. And I think those biases have changed for the good. And that type of Theory X manager, the DeRocher, I don't think he would succeed because he came up in that culture and he brought that with him. And I don't think that, you know, you could be successful doing that today. It has more than just money. Money certainly has played a part. But I think it's the style. You know, you look at the managers in the major leagues today, and, you know, I absolutely love Dusty Baker. I not only admire him as a person, but I admire the way he handled his ball club and was able to keep a clubhouse functioning in a way that they could win championships. And he had a difficult clubhouse. I really admired Dusty Baker. I still do.
What do you think about what they say about how that was a mistake that he made in the World Series when he gave the ball to Ortiz?
Press.
Monday morning quarterback. Yeah. He didn't say anything about Casey about his strategy and his theories.
Casey... now keep in mind I was in spring training, had that exposure, played, when did I get traded? May 9th or something like that. Mm-hmm. So played maybe a month with the Met.
May 8th. Oh, no. June 7th, 62, and then May 8th, 63, you got purchased by the Washingtons. Oh, no.
No, I went to Baltimore.
June 7th, 62, New York Mets, Orioles.
But I had limited exposure, but Casey had an immense knowledge of baseball. I mentioned Whitey Herzog to you earlier. First day of spring training in St. Petersburg, Florida, Casey comes out of his locker room, out of the manager's room, into the locker room proper. And he looks like a character out of Norman Rockwell. I mean, one pant leg's up, one's down, one sock's down, shirt tail hanging out, hat cocked over, hair over here. I mean, unbelievable. And he starts talking. And in essence, he says he knows why all of us are there. Some of us are veterans on the way down. Some of us are rookies that never got an opportunity. Some of us were just good ball players, and but with this team, you're all going to be good. You know, just he said, now, when you come in the clubhouse, what do you think about? Now, this is all in Stingalese. You really got to pay attention to understand the points that he's trying to make. And he says, when you come in the clubhouse, you know, what do you think about? And he tells you all the things that you should think about as far as who's pitching that day, who's playing, you know, who's hot, who's not hot. He says, how do you find that out? You don't wait till the clubhouse. When you get the paper at home and you're reading the paper before you come to the clubhouse, don't just read about that game that we played the day before. Look at who's coming in next and who's coming in after that. Know who's hot on those clubs. May not be the third, fourth, or fifth hitter. Maybe it's a seventh or eighth hitter. But you got to know that, you know, so that when you're out there playing, you're saying, well, you know, this third hitter, he's 0 for 20. He's not the hot guy. So, you know, you can pitch to him. But you come to that seventh or eighth guy that may be only hitting 240, but he's a hot guy in their lineup. And he's telling you that you should know this and how you find it out. And he said, if you have an injury, that injury in that training room is not on my time. It's on your time. You get here early enough, take care of whatever you need taken care of, so that when it's time to be on the field, you're out there on time. Well, he's going on, and all of us, and he's trying to get dressed all this time. And then he says, and when you leave the clubhouse, where do you go? You go to the dugout. Follow me. So he takes everybody, you know, 40 guys, follows him down to the dugout. When you're in the dugout, what are you thinking about? And he goes through all the things that you should be thinking about in the dugout. You're watching the other team take batting practice. You're watching guys throwing the ball in infield practice. Who's got the strong arms? Who might be hurt? You got to know all this stuff. And when you leave the dugout, where do you go? The on-deck circle. Follow me. Everybody follows him to the on-deck circle. When you're in the on-deck circle, what are you thinking about? You're not just swinging bats. You're looking at the situation. If this guy gets on, is it a bunting situation? What's the bunt sign? Oh, that's the bunt sign. What's the hit and run sign? What's the steal sign? What's the take sign? All this you're thinking about in the on-deck circle. So that when you get up to home plate and you get a signal to bunt from the third base coach, you don't go, oh, what was that? You know what it is and you do it. And he takes you from on-deck circle to home plate. Home plate, first base, what are you thinking about when you get on first base? What if the ball's hit down the right field line? Is the guy a right-handed thrower, a left-hand thrower? the ball's hit down the left field line, what kind of an arm does that guy have? Can I go from first to third? Takes you through every scenario that you should know, and you do know some of it, but you're talking about, you know, the Richie Ashburns, the Gus Bells, the Frank Thomases, Hobie Landeth, Gil Hodges, Don Zimmers, guys that have been in the major leagues for a long time. And he's going through all of this. And I guarantee you, every one of us learned something from Casey by taking us around that ballpark. At second base, what do you think about? And where are they playing? Third base, you know, what's a squeeze play? And he said, when you get on third, what do you do? You score, 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 score! And that's what we're going to do, and that's why we're going to win some ball game. You know, but it was a classic, just a classic. And Whitey Herzog can do this whole thing. Just perfect. So, oh, and he had also said, when he was talking about pitchers, he had mentioned something. So now I'm in Washington. Gil's the manager. I'm catcher, first year, and in 63. Mm-hmm. And Claude Osteen, our best pitcher, is pitching. And